Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
We go to Athens for the latest on your Georgia Bulldogs. This is Bulldog Roundtable exclusively on The Fan. Live from the Georgia's own credit union studios at the Buttsmere Building in Athens.
25-20, fourth sideline, 15, 10, 5, get in there, touchdown!
This morning, The Fan staff brings you the latest on the Dogs.
As the only station in Atlanta that's live in Athens all year long.
Yes, indeed! That was too easy!
Bulldog Roundtable is proudly presented by Georgia's Own Credit Union. Find out how you can become one of Georgia's Own at georgiasown.org. Georgia Pack and Load. Move the smart way. Move the pack and load way. Call 1-800-800-MOVE or online at gapackandload.com. Wellstar Health System. More than healthcare, people care. And by attorney Ken Nugent. One call, that's all.
And that's going to be the ball game. Georgia will win this ball game.
Now, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union studios in the Buttsmere Building in Athens, it's Chuck Dowdle on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Boy, and a good Tuesday morning to all of you in Dog Nation. It is a gorgeous day here in the Classic City. The sun is out after those thunderstorms overnight, and we are so thankful. Hey, while I'm thinking about it, let me remind everybody, you can listen to any Roundtable show in podcast form at 680thefan.com or anywhere you get your favorite podcast. If you feel like you missed anything recently or want to just keep track of the show in podcast form, that's the way to do it. But we are coming to you live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios right here in the heartbeat of Dog Nation, presented by Georgia Pack and Load, Wellstar Health System, and attorney Ken Nugent. A couple of quick notes. Georgia's women's team, a winner last night, a last-second shot by Gabby Connolly. They knocked off Arkansas, and the NCAA has awarded Georgia's gymnastics team a hosting for the NCAA regionals here in Athens. That'll be later this spring. We'll keep you updated on all of that. Let's turn our attention to football because it never stops. It is a 12-month a year, 365 days and, you know, 24-7, and particularly for this gentleman, Mr. College Football. He's with the SEC Network. You know him well, Tony Barnhart, here with our very own 680 The Fan, too. And, Tony, the first question I have for you is when you look back at what we have just finished and the way we got through it, are there going to be any lasting effects of things that we will take forward that we had to do in 2020?
Well, Chuck, hopefully not a whole lot. My hope and your hope is that this was a one-off and we never have to go through anything like this again. What schools did learn is they could get by on less because everybody made less money. The budgets were took at least a $50 million hit each across the board. And we've learned a lot about how to take care of each other and how to be flexible, okay? From the very beginning of the process, Greg Sankey, the commissioner of the SEC, said everybody will have to be flexible because it's going to be on a week-to-week basis, and that is exactly the way it turned out.
Are you surprised, speaking of the commissioner, that he was able to pull off what he did, a 10-game SEC schedule where only, when you look back over the entire season, only two games were lost in the SEC, Georgia-Vandy being one of them?
It was. I can't say I was surprised because he had a plan. Chuck, he put together the plan for this, he and his staff put together the plan for the 2020 season in May. Okay, they knew what it was going to take to get, and there were several elements involved, including starting on September 26th, putting in a universal open date at the end of the season, opening championship Saturday up to allow games to be played. Every time there was a problem, there was a contingency that had been put in place. So I'm not surprised that the SEC was able to do it because they executed the plan they had really put in place since May.
How do you think the 10-game schedule was received by coaches, and do you think there's enough support to put that in place permanently down the road?
Well, Chuck, I can tell you that the fans loved it because every week meant something. Every week was it wasn't looking at, you know, playing Western Carolina or somebody like that. All due respect to Western Carolina. So my friends who follow SEC football absolutely loved it. Don't think the coaches were real crazy about it because there were no breaks. There was really no chance to catch your breath except for the open date. My sense is that as popular as it was, we won't be going back to it anytime soon because of the way that schedules are built, the way that the non-conference games are prioritized. But I think what we will see is an even more dedication to significant home-and-home series with intersectional opponents. That's already being done now. I just think we'll see more of it.
What about, Tony, what about the idea of getting somebody to head up the Power Five schools as a commissioner, per se, of the Power Fives? Would you be in favor of that? And who would you like to see hold that job?
I'd only be in favor of it if it's Greg Sankey or Nick Saban. Beyond that, I don't know that I would be in favor. Here's the problem, Chuck. On paper, it makes absolute sense, okay? You need somebody looking out for the good of the game as a whole as opposed to five different commissioners looking out for their individual conferences. Here's the problem. What if the Big Ten commissioner, who I have a lot of respect for, what if the Big Ten commissioner had been the overall commissioner of college football?
Yeah.
Would we have had a 2020 season?
That's
I don't
a good
know.
Point.
Okay?
Yeah.
But with Greg Sankey in there, we knew that heaven and earth was going to be moved and everything that could be done would be done. And look, the SEC is different than the Big Ten. Okay, they are. The SEC is different than the Big 12, the Pac-12. These conferences are different, and it's hard to come up with a one-size-fits-all. But I'm circling back around to say, in concept, it is a good idea. In execution is where I wonder about it.
How far down the road do we have to be removed from this virus in order to expect a normal, or what we used to refer to as a normal, college football season in 2021?
That's a great question, Chuck, and it's the one we're all going to be looking at because there are two components involved. One, of course, is getting enough vaccines in arms where we feel confident and the schools feel confident in letting at least larger crowds come back, more so than 25%. The other one, though, Chuck, is a little harder to pin down, and it's the psychological component. It's kind of like, you know, you remember the first time you got on a plane after 9/11.
Yeah.
There was some trepidation there. And I think it'll be the case here. I don't think people are just going to, even if we get an all clear, I'm not sure people are going to flood back and fill 100,000 seat stadiums right away. So there's the medical component to it that's got to be overcome, and we know what that's all about. But it's also the psychological component. It's hard for me to say if normal is Sanford Stadium being completely full. I don't know that we'll be there this fall. I hope we are. Man, I hope we are. I really do. But I just don't know at this point because of the vaccine rollout.
Tony, before I let you go, just real quickly, how big of a dumpster fire are we facing in Knoxville and to a lesser degree in Baton Rouge?
Well, the Knoxville situation was one that had been in the makings for a while. But I will say this. They hired the Danny White hired athletic director is a great hire. He is going to do a great job. But now he's got to hire the right football coach, and does he do it in the next 2 weeks? How does that plan out, and who can they get at this point? So that's and of course the investigation thing is another component that we don't even know about just yet. The LSU situation is quite serious, and everybody I've talked to over there says quite serious, but we're still too early in the process. But anytime these kind of allegations are made, you have to take them very, very seriously.
Well, I tell you what, it's going to be interesting following it, and I know you'll keep everybody apprised of what's going on over these next few months as we head toward what we are hoping we'll get to, as you mentioned, as that vaccine gets into arms, getting back to some degree of normalcy. But as always, Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, cannot thank you enough. Always appreciate your time and great insight into what's going on in college football and in the SEC. So Tony's with us, and we appreciate that. We're going to take a break. We come back. We're going to turn our attention to some recruiting questions for the University of Georgia. There's another signing day coming up in just a couple of weeks. That's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
Dialed into the Dogs all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on the Fan.
This. Spring is here, and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Is there chaos in your closet?
Look, Blouse, you've got some nerve hanging there like that.
I can't help it. I'm jammed in here next to this suit.
Hey, I'm a three-piece, all right, which means I need a little more room.
You've got a lot of attitude for a linen suit.
I'm a polyester blend, sweetheart, and there needs to be room for men's clothes, too.
Hi, I'm Christina, and at Artisan Custom Closets, we help families organize and simplify their closets with customized storage solutions. See what's possible for your home at artisancustomclosets.com, and then call us for a free in-home consultation.
It's Bulldog Roundtable with Chuck Dowdle, live from the Georgia's Own Credit Union Studios in the Buttsmere Center in Athens, on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, The Fan, 680 and 93.7 FM.
And welcome back. Our thanks once again to Mr. College Football, Tony Barnhart, for his time this morning. And let's turn our attention now to recruiting, because what used to be the only national signing day is just around the corner here, coming up in February. And joining us now is Kip Adams. He covers recruiting for Dogs 24/7, and always enjoy talking with Kip. And Kip, the question becomes, you know, the Dogs did such a great job back in December on the new early signing period, which now seems to be the signing period that everybody kind of, you know, overlooks what's still ahead. What's on the Dog's plate for the next signing period here in February?
You know, Chuck, I've covered, I think this is my 15th recruiting cycle I've covered for Georgia, and you know, we've seen every single possible scenario, I thought, and I can't tell you the last time we've had a recruiting cycle like this, where if you're covering Georgia, you know, you're kind of just enjoying your morning coffee, because as signing day rolls around in a week, there's only one target on the board that you have to really, you know, focus on for Georgia, and that's four-star defensive back Terrion Arnold. Georgia, as you said, did a great job of their class, number three class in the country on the 24/7 sports rankings. 16 early enrollees, which is an outstanding number to be able to get in on campus and just get them acclimated with the program. Four others who signed their letter of intent. Georgia's sitting at 28 guys in the class right now, and as far as high school or junior college prospects go right now, we feel fairly comfortable that Terrion Arnold is really the only target that Georgia has right now. We think they're going to focus on having a couple spots left over for the college transfer portal. That's just an aspect of really the recruiting era that you got to have spots available for that, because you don't have a different way of bringing in players right now. If you bring in someone through the transfer portal, you have to have an initial transfer spot open for those guys. Regardless of how many guys you lose to the transfer portal, you don't get those spots back. So Georgia wants to have a couple spots open for that. They got key positions they're wanting to get impact guys in, but at the same time, Terrion Arnold is definitely an impact guy, a very talented prospect out of Tallahassee, Florida, at John Paul Catholic, that Georgia's made a priority throughout the recruiting cycle. And with 1 week to go, you know, three teams could – make an argument that they're going to land him next Wednesday, and that being Alabama, Florida, and Georgia. I kind of like where Georgia stands right now. They've done an outstanding job recruiting him. I know that there's a secondary coach position that Kirby Smart is looking to replace with Charlton Warren going to Indiana to be the defensive coordinator, but he's not in a rush to make that decision. I don't think he has to look at Terry Arnold as far as being a factor for a DB coach, and he's taken an active role in Terry Arnold's recruitment for months now, and I think that really bodes well for Georgia as they try to land one of the, you know, really the top 100 players in the country and kind of be that cherry on the top of what is right now the number three class in the country.
Well, not being totally familiar with what the situation is in the defensive backfield for those other schools, for Alabama and for Florida, I certainly know what it is for Georgia. And you would think that one of the things Kirby can dangle out there is there's opportunity here.
That's been the pitch for months. It's been kind of known that Georgia was going to be replacing, you know, most likely, you know, multiple starters in the secondary. And now with the departure of Tyreek Stevenson, you look at that secondary right now, they've lost their top five defensive backs from the 2020 season. Right now you look throughout that depth chart and we're talking about guys who have never started games. Only one defensive back is a returning starter in Lewis Cine. And so for Kirby, the pitch has been very easy for months now. There's playing time to be had here. We don't really have an idea of who are going to be starting at multiple positions. I mean, Chris Smith has shown some promise there towards the end. And, you know, you look at Healy Ringo coming off a major injury, and it's Latavius Brinney also looked good there toward the end. But as far as a certainty, that is the one aspect of Georgia's 2020 roster that's going to be a major question mark throughout the offseason. So for Terry Arnold, yes, the pitch is strong. He's well aware of that. And we're looking to see if maybe he gets on campus in the next couple of days. That would be very telling. If he's in Athens on his own, spending time with the other 2020 guys they've already signed, that could give you a pretty clear indication of maybe which way he's leaning or his interest level. But you're correct. That DB depth chart at Georgia is as enticing as it can get for a program projected by many to be in the top five heading into the season.
Talking with Kip Adams, who covers recruiting for Dogs247.com. And Kip, just real quickly, if you're let's assume that Georgia, we're talking basically about a one or none almost situation on this National Signing Day in February. But what about a school like Tennessee or Auburn or South Carolina, one of the schools that's had a major coaching change, head coaching change? How critical is this upcoming period to them?
Very critical. I mean, especially look at Auburn right now. They only have 12 guys in their class. I mean, for all intents and purposes, that's half a class. South Carolina, 11 guys on board right now. I mean, it's imperative to those programs that they're able to just fill their roster needs. With Tennessee, I mean, they've had guys who actually signed that they have lost to the transfer portal already. So for getting these guys the comfort level and making them feel like the direction of the program fits what they're looking for, it's very important for these programs, because as much as you want to have that coaching change and get a fresh start, it could set you back multiple years if your roster has to be built from scratch. And just with the transfer portal and the way things are these days, like I said, with the initial counters, you can't afford to get behind the eight ball with your roster. You want to have as close to 85 people on scholarship as you can at all times. And I think that, you know, the next couple of days are going to be critical for those programs. But no matter what, they're really working from, again, behind the eight ball, just compared to Alabama, Georgia, and even LSU with all the change they had last year. They recruited really well, and that's going to allow them to be competitive for the next couple of years.
Kip, cannot thank you enough, my friend, for your time this morning. Kip Adams covers recruiting for Dogs 24/7. Really appreciate his insight, and as always, that what used to be the national signing day still bears watching, particularly maybe not so much for Georgia, but still will have a critical component for the Dogs, but certainly a lot of other schools in the SEC, it's going to matter mightily. We're going to take a break. We come back. Assistant Coach Steve McClain from University of Georgia Basketball, he's going to join us. Dogs have a big week coming up in college basketball. That's next here on the Bulldog Roundtable.
The only Atlanta station broadcasting live from Athens all year long.
This is Bulldog Roundtable on The Fan.
This is Georgia head coach Kirby Smart, and you're listening to the Bulldog Roundtable on the official sports talk station of the Georgia Bulldogs, 680 The Fan on FM at 93.7. Go Dogs!
Thank you, Coach, and welcome back to the Bulldog Roundtable. Let's turn our attention now to University of Georgia men's basketball. Team coming off a loss on Saturday to the Florida Gators. Gators played extremely well, but Dogs with a big week on the road tomorrow night at South Carolina, and then back home on Saturday, a 6 o'clock tip against Ole Miss, who the Dogs already hold a road win over. And joining us now, Steve McClain. He's a top assistant with head coach Tom Crean. And Coach, I appreciate your time this morning, but fair to say that so far team's been a little inconsistent with play. We see at times exactly what we can be, and then at other times it just disappears.
Well, you know, it's interesting, and I was thinking about this waiting for you to call this morning, and you know, I'm looking at South Carolina right now, and they've played seven games, and I think the inconsistencies you see, you're seeing all over college basketball, because in reality, when you look at a college basketball season in the preseason, and you've been through a bunch of them, the inconsistencies you normally work out during non-conference play.
That is
and
true.
And yet, we've all hit conference play, and you're still learning about your team. It's easy to forget eight new players, and because let's be honest, we've all woke up every day just excited we're getting to play with everything going on in the world. So I think sometimes when you see the inconsistencies, it's still the learning process of your team and new guys. And then you throw in the fact of KD, you know, getting eligible. Now that comes into your rotation. A lot of things going on. But I think this, and here's where I've tried to evaluate it. I think since the Arkansas game, you know, we go to Ole Miss, get a win. We come back with Kentucky, get a win. And then the other night, except for about, if you could have took out the first 3 minutes of the second half, that game's going to go right down to the wire. So I think there's things, no question, Chuck, we got to get better at them. But there is the process of still feeling this team out, and I think everybody in the country is going through it.
Yeah, one of the things I think that has been a great bright point for the Dogs is you've seen a lot of character stand up on that road game at Ole Miss, where Ole Miss made two big runs late to make it a really tight game, and our guys went, whoa, put up the hands, the stop sign, and then won it at the free throw line with some great free throw shooting by Sevier there at the end. And then against Kentucky, down by six with less than two to play and go on a 7-0 run to win it at the buzzer. You know, and so that doesn't happen without a little intestinal fortitude.
Well, I don't think there's any question. I can tell you this, Chuck. You know, we go to practice every day, and this group has been very locked in. And at the end of the day, you're still trying to learn how to win. And you gave two great examples there of on the road, the home team makes a run. We fought it off. At home, down six, found a way to come back and win. And I look at it like a fan sometimes. You win two big games like that, and then you lose the Florida game, and you look at it and you go, man, we didn't make our free throws. We didn't do a couple things that we had been doing. And I think it doesn't matter whether it's football, basketball, whatever you're playing or coaching, there's always that moment in the game that you can go back to and go right there. And so I know this. This group is coming and working. And, again, we had a great practice yesterday. And you said it. We've got not only a big week coming up, but you throw in the fact that then we go to Auburn on Tuesday. We've got three very hard games in a very short span here. And so it's going to be I know this. These guys are resilient, and they're excited about it.
Well, Coach, real quickly, this South Carolina game tomorrow night. Now, Frank Martin's team, you know how they're going to play. It's going to be a physical, defensive, and try to make it ugly game.
Well, you know, I jokingly said to someone after they gave up 108 at home, they may not see a basketball for 2 days getting ready for us, because that's how Frank is. And no question, you know, they're a very physical team. They're a very athletic team. You know, sitting and trying to do the scout on them, they've had guys play, guys not play. They've had two starters that haven't played for four games, and yet I think they'll be back for us. So, they're a very talented, tough group of people, and you know, but that's where Sevier and Tamani and the older guys, which our older guys are sophomores that have been in this league, have got to do a great job of making sure our new guys understand what kind of environment we're going to walk into.
Well, let's go over to Columbia and get a win. We haven't had one over there in a while. It sure would be nice, and it'd get this week off to a great start. And as you mentioned, this three-game run, it'd get it off to a great start. So let's go get a victory over there tomorrow night, Coach.
Sounds good, Chuck. Well, we're looking forward to it, and hopefully we'll have a great week here.
Let's do it. Coach Steve McClain, the University of Georgia men's basketball, here with us on the Bulldog Roundtable. Appreciate his time. Appreciate your time. And that, of course, also of Tony Barnhart and Kip Adams, who've been with us here today. As always, we'll be back on Thursday morning at 9 o'clock for another edition of Bulldog Roundtable. Don't forget the podcast at 680thefan.com. And in the meantime, let's have a great Bulldog day, everybody.
Spring is here and baseball is back.
You can't forget the Derby. I love the hats. Do you have yours yet?
My hat? I treated myself to a whole outfit.
If you want to be able to treat yourself, then you should check out the Nest Savings Account at LGE Community Credit Union, where they want you to reach your savings goals faster.
Take it from a pair of 680 The Fan wives. Head to lgeccu.org to find out what makes their team number one in Georgia.
Hey Atlanta, Hudson Mason here. Is a new roof still on your to-do list, but you've been delayed due to rising home service costs? Well, here's a fantastic solution from Accent Roofing Service. Zero down, zero payments, and zero interest for a full year. That's right, you can get your new roof now and start paying next year. Act quickly, because Accent's incredible offer of 000 with a 12-month deferred payment option for a lifetime roof system isn't going to last long. Contact the craftsman at Accent Roofing Service today, accentroofingservice.com.